Hello. Today I'm sitting here in our radio studio with Joffrey from Pascal Pinon. Hello.
Hi there.
This is our original Icelandic name, Joffrey.
Yeah, I think it came from Norway. And I think there might be a Norwegian name that is quite rare, but it's Jofrid. And then Icelandic always puts "ur" after everything.
Yeah.
So it's Jofridur.
Is it normal in the Scandinavian countries to giving traditional names to the kids?
It's just whatever. There's everything. Yeah, there are traditional names and there are also more kind of foreign names. But there are quite strict rules in Iceland for giving names because it has to fit into the language. So certain names, like there's a naming committee. That if you have a brand new name, you have to send it to the naming committee and they say yes or no, depending on whether you can conjugate it or not.
Oh, okay, interesting.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah, I know a German actress, she is called Wolke, also Clouds. Clouds. And I read an interview with her, and when the parents want to name her Wolke, at first the people say, no, you can't do this, and they have to go to the court and like this committee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think it's a very nice name, Cloud, Wolke.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about the next Icelandic word, about your album. It's called Sundur. What means Sundur?
It means apart. And for us, that was kind of when we were thinking, what do we name the album and how do we, what is the theme that has been going on for this whole process? This felt like a nice, sort of strong and simple word to name the album. Because also it's such a contrast to the previous album, which is called Twosomeness, which means kind of togetherness. So that's the kind of together and this is apart.
Yeah, because now you're studying in Amsterdam and your sister is in Iceland?
No, she went to study in Amsterdam. But she went home back to Iceland a couple of years ago. So when we started kind of the process, she was living in Amsterdam and then she went home to continue her studies.
Okay, and it depends very on your work with the album. It influences the
research. Yeah, absolutely. It was a kind of, we kind of just realized as we started making this album how much we took it for granted that we had the company of each other. And it was kind of hard to adapt to it. And that's why we struggled.
Are you now living in the same city, in the same space?
No.
No. But how influenced this your work? Is it when you met or now we have to do music or?
Yeah, I think making music was really hard for us because we had just a lot of like kind of personal troubles just between the two of us. So just trying to understand each other when it was really hard and almost impossible, and so making music on top of that was just at times I don't know how often I said we're never going to put out this album, we're never going to finish it, and I quit the band and like this is ridiculous and blah blah blah, you know, all those things that you say when you're angry, and then of course you just take a deep breath and okay, things are going to be okay. And so it's like a kind of a pretty crazy thing that the album is actually coming out and then I'm sitting here talking about it, to be very honest.
Yeah, I read that you're just having 2 days to record this album.
Yeah, I wanted to book like 2 weeks in the studio, but then Ásthildur had already like promised that she would work for those days, so we we had to compromise. Like, but we have to record something. So our dad kind of stepped in, and he was such a hero. He really is the one who made this come together. He just said he would drive us to the studio. We got up at 8. And worked until midnight both of those days, and then he was there with us producing and helping us record it and get everything together.
Are you now satisfied with Sundur?
I guess I am as satisfied as I can be. I mean, for me, I personally set out to make a totally different album, and so it's I had to kind of accept it in many ways that we are working together and we are so incredibly different. And I was so worried that that would come across as a negative thing when you're listening to the album and you're a listener and you can tell that there are two incredibly different forces and different kind of people working on the music and different creative minds. So I was dead worried that, you know, people would just hate it. Because I had such a hard time. I only see one perspective and then she says one perspective. But coming together, we got a friend of ours to mix it for us. And so he was able to kind of really intelligently combine the two worlds and make this the final product, the final piece.
Yeah, when I yesterday listened to it, I think two or three times, I listened it, and then I had the feeling that at the one side it's very raw, so mm-hmm. and at the other side there are a lot of details. So in my mind was a German word verspielt. I don't know English. You can say playful, mm-hmm. so with a lot of details. Is mm-hmm. it maybe these two sides of you?
Yeah, for example, totally. No, we absolutely wanted to keep it. Because we were arguing about artistic things, amongst other things, we always settled for the strongest and the simplest projection of the song. So it would be the voice and the story and the melody, and then some kind of an instrument accompanying it, whether it was guitar or piano or organ or keyboard or anything really. And then we sat down and then we had fun. So we laid it down and made sure we were happy with it. And then we went into the kind of the small touches. It's for the people who like to listen carefully, for people who are interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's very nice. I mean, it's okay. I mean, there is music outside. It's okay. It's when you're doing thing and there's music and you don't listen very carefully to this music, but then there's a sort of music, okay, you have to sit down and listen to it and concentrate on it, and mm-hmm. yeah, sometimes I like this very much.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great thing to hear, that people are responding well to it and that they can connect with it, even if it's not perfect, you know. It's a very sort of flowy, it's a live album, it's very kind of, it is what it is, and partly it is because we were struggling to come together, and partly it is because we're struggling to agree and to finish it, and sometimes we were angry, sometimes we were really calm, and I think maybe it's such a beautiful thing that people can, that they can relate to it, and then they can appreciate it.
Yeah, and I think there is space if it's not perfect or saying.
But that's such a bullshit attitude that I even get into. I fall into this. Like, I try to make things that sound perfect, but then a lot of my favorite music is full of mistakes, and I don't understand what's wrong with my attitude. It's like, you are so harsh and critical of yourself. I think everyone who makes music and who makes art and should just let go of this and just try and make things that are genuine.
Yeah, I think the point to saying, okay, now it's done and now I give it to the people to get this point is sometimes very difficult to get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's talk about the songs on the album. There's one song is called Scum Diggies.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Icelandic language. Mm-hmm. What is the story of the song?
The song was written in 2012, actually. It's a while ago. And at the time, there are two influences, musical influences, Dirty Projectors, that I was listening to a lot of the time. And the lyrical influence is Halldór Laxness, who's an Icelandic, the only ever Icelandic person to win a Nobel Prize, and he won it for literature. And I was studying at the time, and I was, it was kind of in between. I was, I think it was a time in my life where there was kind of, I was growing a lot. Those were my kind of growing pains that I was going through as a young person. I was like 17 or something, and 18 maybe. And the thing that was on my mind was that skamdegi means it's a word that only exists in Icelandic. It's basically just short days, and it's a term for the season when it's completely dark. And what I was trying to achieve in the song was that I was trying to say, like, things are grim and things are, you know, things are the way they are, and life is like this, and these are some of the things that have been happening, and then at the end it's like this kind of more brighter note. It's like in certain sections or certain chapters, and it's a very hopeful song in a way. It's about the kind of the all the tangles of your flow, of your heart, of your blood, of all your passions and your things that you strive to do and that you thrive for, and this was the kind of like, things are shitty but they're gonna be okay, because there's no scum day, there are no short days that don't get bright at the end, and it's all a part of the cycle. So
yeah, have you any favorite instruments you're playing? I mean, you're a two. Are you on stage just two?
Yeah, we have. That's how we've done in the past. We haven't really played live together for the last 2 years or so. So I don't know what we're gonna do.
Okay, interesting. Because our friends from the TV, I mean, we are a radio station and a TV station. Mm-hmm. They want to film your concert on the festival.
Yeah, I think we're just gonna be two of us on the festival. Okay. Just kind of go easy.
Okay,
go slow.
So, yeah, I think then we are at the end, because I had a lot of questions and you give me the answers. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm Jofrid from Pascal Pinon, and you're listening to All You Can Eat.